Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Appreciate the response in the text line. Kind of reflecting on things. But now we shift gears. We talk some Preds. Our man Hal Gill joins us now. Skillsy, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that our conversation today would be about a game one against Edmonton, but unfortunately here we are talking about what could have been and the season coming to an end, but appreciate you doing this. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm still a little bit shell-shocked, a little disappointed. And you know what? I will say, you know, at the beginning of the season, I would have said, hey, we made it to the playoffs, we lost to a good team, and, you know, that's okay. You know, that's part of growing this new team that Barry Trotz is building, but they made me love it. They made me really kind of rally around those guys. Yeah. I wanted to see them win, you know, so it's more disappointing than I ever thought it would be.
You, in your career, you won it all with Pittsburgh, but you've been through different kinds of losses. Like, because I think there is such a thing. Like, you look back a few years ago when the Predators were swept by Colorado. Now, we didn't necessarily think they were going to get swept, but you knew Colorado was a much better team, and it just wasn't a fair matchup.
Yeah.
So how would you have felt as a player then compared to now in a series where you had multiple opportunities to win, and you probably – in some ways, should have won the series.
Yeah, like I think, and Bruno talked about the moments all the time, you know, just those quick, the game one, 12 seconds. If you take away that, if in game four, or is it three or four? I feel like the Preds should have won that.
And, four.
You know, and then you, game four, yeah. And then you look at, obviously, game five, you know, I think you go back and forth and you look at all the moments that you could have locked down a win and it just didn't happen. But that's what part of being a good team is seizing the moment and making those moments count. And I think that's what Vancouver did and they got rewarded for.
So a few years ago, Hal, Columbus made the playoffs. And I feel it was like 2017, 2018. Everybody's excited. And they got swept in the first round. They lost all four. They got demoralized and beaten down. Which is worse, losing that way or losing the way where you fought the entire time and you were so close to do that? Because I'm thinking, if I get blown out, I understand that and I'm okay and I move on. But losing the way the Preds do or the way the Preds did, that would drive me crazy in the offseason, Hal.
Yeah, well, you know what? The other thing you have to look at is I always felt like you're following that team. Like, how do you feel after Vancouver plays Edmonton? You know, is Vancouver just going to roll right through Edmonton, or are they going to get stomped by Edmonton? You know, like, I feel like when I was with the Bruins my first few years, every team we lost to went to the finals. And I was like, God, like, if we could just have gotten through them, we would have had a chance. And it doesn't work that way, but I think, you know, if you get stomped out and you're not a good enough team to even come close, then, you know, it's like, okay, we got what we deserved. I think the Preds are probably thinking, hey, we deserve more than what we got. But then you look at what happens after the series, and that tells you a lot as well.
I'm going to make Hal Gill the general manager for one day. Hal, if you are the GM of the Nashville Predators, what's the one thing you go out and get? Doesn't have to be a person, but maybe position or whatever. What's the one thing you go out and get?
I've been torn. I'm split in how do I want to do this? Do I want to go get a person? Do I want to go get someone? Or do I want to let the guys that I have, do I want to build them up? And, you know, you look at the core – I think you have a really good core right now. So you kind of want to build around it. You want to give them a second line goal scorer, you know, to get that secondary punch. But you also want to, you don't want to put in too many roster spots that you block out the younger guys that you think can jump into those positions. And then I look at it, okay, well, what if you trade some of those prospects and try to build a team, and can you build it now? And do you have a strong enough core that you could build around them to make them competitive next year? So I think Barry Trotz has got his hands full because there's a lot of ways. You have a ton of draft capital that you can move. You can make this team good and you can make them good quick. But I think by doing that, you maybe you limit your upside from building a few years down the road. So I'm torn between it, to be honest with you.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Nashville Predators analyst. And along those lines, and tell me if you agree with me or not, I think the biggest decision he has to make this summer is the future in goaltender, because Saros is going to be eligible for an extension. Obviously, Askarov is ready to come to the NHL and be a full-time player, albeit probably starting as a backup. So how do you look at that, and does that pretty much, in your mind, dictate the rest of the moves, if you stick with Saros or if you decide to move on from Saros and give the keys to the car to Askarov?
Well, that puts your timeline back a little bit. I think Askarov, you're not going to bring him up and put him on, let him watch games. He's got to play. I think so. He's either in Milwaukee playing or he's with the Preds playing. And I don't think you go with Askarov and Saros together unless you're going to split their time and make them a 1-2 punch. But I think at some point there's got to be a decision made for the future with Askarov or for the now with Saros. And so I think that goes into what I was talking about, is which way are you going to build this? Are you going to build for the future and let Askarov, give him the keys, so to speak, and move from Juice? Or are you going to say, hey, we're going to go with Juice right now, and we're going to build something big, and it's got to be this year maybe, or the next? And so that's part of that decision, I think.
We knew going into this that Andrew Brunette was a heck of a coach, that I think everybody liked this hire, knew what he was going to bring, you know, former player, 1,000 games of experience. What was something that maybe you didn't expect out of him that you know, was a pleasant surprise to you in watching Andrew Brunette in his first year as the head coach of the Preds?
You know what? I think there's different levels that I think he reaches. There's a certain level where he's so systematic in the way he wants to play and the belief in the way that if they push pucks and, you know, he talked about the possession game and how he wants to play. And he talked about activating the D more and making it kind of a 1-3-1 in the offensive zone and pushing through the neutral zone. I think all that stuff he really nailed down, and he knows his identity and knows the way his team should play. And he held everyone accountable to it. And I think that's not easy to do. Like, think of all the little healthy scratches that Evangelista went through, and working with Tomasino, working with Cody Glass, and working with, you know, like, he was really strong on the way he wanted to play and the way he wanted the young guys to play. And I think you saw guys figure it out as the season went on. And I think that's hard for a young coach not to look at the playoffs and go, all right, let's just trap it up. Like, forget everything I talked about. Let's just try to find a way to get a win. And that would have been easy for him to do. And I think he stuck to his guns and stayed with his system and tried to execute his system in tough situations. And so I was pretty impressed with that. And the other thing I think we don't really see the side of is how much he respects the players and the players respect him. And I think they have, you know, I look back to the goalie hug that he gave Juice. I don't think we see that from him too often. But, you know, I think he cares about the team, and I think the guys care about him and want to play for him. So that was something that for a young coach, I don't think is easy to do, is to balance that accountability with that caring about each other. You know, there's a lot of – I've been around a lot of coaches that don't really care what you feel. They will yell at you and scream at you, make you feel miserable, and you got to go out and do your job. I think Bruno has a good balance of accountability and that love for his players.
Hal, our question today is commencement speaker. Who would you like to have been your commencement speaker, living or you know, dead or alive? Who would you like to have come spoke at your graduation?
You know what? I'm going to go back, and I don't know if I can do this. But, like, I think Wile E. Coyote would be my guy. can I go cartoons?
You can do whatever you want, yes.
I mean, it's my commencement, right?
Yeah.
And I only say that because, you know, that was actually – I wrote that as my in my application for Providence College. I wrote that, and I'm sure they were riveted by my writing. as I was going to play hockey at Providence. But, you know, I think Wile E. Coyote There's no person that has more perseverance and sticks to it more than Wile E. Coyote. You know, he's been through it all.
He's been blown up a thousand times.
Going back to Bruno's Relentless. I mean, that's what it is right there. And I think that's what college kids need to hear is, if you don't get it done, keep trying.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next. If you had to go speak at a graduation, what's the one message you want everybody to take away from you?
Hey, if you're going to do it hard. You know, that's my number one go-to. And I always said, my father, one of his was sayings, if it feels good, do it. If it feels real good, do it again. And so I think that goes into if you're going to do it, do it hard, right? You know, if you're going to go to the gym, don't pussyfoot around with it. Get into it. Go after it. If you're going to go to work, might as well be the best at what you do. And so if you're going to sleep hard, you know, and make it count.
Amen.
So whatever you're doing, do it hard.
I love that. Amen to that. Hal, we've enjoyed these chats. I'm sure we'll catch up with you during the off season, but we'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. I miss you guys already.
Yeah, no doubt. We won't. That is for sure. Hal Gill joining us here on the program.